You're listening to the Salty Saints Podcast with Will and Angela Williams, a podcast meant to motivate you, encourage you, and sometimes convict you to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in your faith, and stand firm to the end. Here are the Salty Saints.
Hey guys, we hope that you are all having a wonderful week. We know it's getting closer to Christmas, and so we hope and pray that you're all having a good holiday season and being able to just shine the light of Jesus wherever you are and point everything back to the real reason for this season. So having said that, today we are going to have a teaching over 1 Peter. We're going to start with the first 12 verses, and we're going to break that down and try to keep this podcast to 30 minutes or less. And we're just going to continue to go through the book of 1 Peter, just breaking it down like that into 30-minute increments each podcast episode that we do. And then after 1 Peter, we'll go into 2 Peter.
So, guys, what we're going to do, we're just going to pray, and we're going to get going. And if you ever have any questions on any of the teachings that we do, please reach out to us and let us know what your question is. Because, you know, the views that we're going to be talking about, the different viewpoints and everything, is the studies that we've had over the years and just trying to get everything in line with Scripture. So if it goes against something that you've never heard or anything like that, please reach out and we'll love to talk to you. So let's go ahead and get going and start the prayer time. Would you like to pray?
Yeah. Okay. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you and we just always want to come in a spirit of humility and just of emptiness, Lord. We want to empty ourselves of any preconceived ideas or notions that we may have about your word so that we come with a teachable heart and a teachable spirit. So Lord, I just pray right now that you would give us understanding, that you would make your word plain to us so that we can understand what the Spirit is saying to us and that we may apply it to our life. We love you, Lord, and just to you be all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. So we're going to start reading, and we're going to read verses 1 through 12. So I'll go ahead and I'll read. It says, "Greetings from Peter," verse 1. "This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and His Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed Him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more grace and peace. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by the great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see." Verse 6, "So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold, so when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much, much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world." Verse 8, "You love Him even though you have never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him, and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls. This salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. They wondered what time or situation the Spirit of Christ within them was talking about when he told them in advance about Christ's suffering, his great glory afterward. Verse 12, they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. The reading of God's word. So what we're going to start off in, we're going to just do basic Bible study principles. So we're going to ask the question, who wrote this epistle? And of course, it's very easy. We see it in the very first verse. It says this letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So Peter wrote 1 Peter, and when we get into 2 Peter, we're going to see that Peter wrote 2 Peter. So this we're going to see this letter, how he, when he wrote it, we're going to see his experiences that he had with Jesus. We're going to see everything that Peter experienced and everything that he learned from our Lord. He's putting into these two letters. So we have to realize Peter was a fisherman. He was a common man. And because Peter was a common man, when we read his letters, we're reading his letters as you would read a common man's letters. He's not an intellectual like Paul. So this part of the scripture is very plain and to the point. And that's what I like about Peter, is because he's to the point. So in the very beginning, we see that he's an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was a sent one. He was a called out one for the Lord. Just as we are called out. I'm not an apostle, but we're still called out ones to go and spread the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So he's writing to the to God's chosen people, and they're living as foreigners in a province. And these are the areas that he's writing to. These are the believers that are living in these cities. So these are not actual brick and mortar buildings that are here. These are actual Christians, which are called the church, in these cities. So that's something that we need to realize. Because when you say your city and the church is in whatever city you live in, it's the believers that live in that city. So the next time when you read scripture, look at it that way, because that's the way it was actually written.
And so we can apply this to our life because we are also God's chosen people.
Yes, because that is a very big topic, and I'm not going to spend very much time on it, but the chosen aspect of us, it is very humbling to know that we are chosen in Christ. That when we come to Christ, that means that that we are chosen. So when you received, when you bowed the knee and you received salvation from Christ of what he did on the cross, you are chosen because you said, yes, Lord. You responded to the call that God gave you. And the Holy Spirit drawing you. You said, you responded with a yes, that I will surrender. And one of the scriptures that I was going to give and read real quick is in Ephesians. Ephesians is awesome, is another awesome epistle. And Ephesians was written by Paul. So you can see that Paul and also Peter, they had the same Holy Spirit. So they both,
same message.
The same message. So we're going to read in Ephesians 1, verse 4. It says, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. So I'm going to just stop right there. And so we're going to go back and we're going to see in verse 2 in 1 Peter, it says, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we know here He chose us. How did he choose us?
In Christ.
In Christ. Ephesians tells us this. The word of God. See, we cannot ever just, we can never cherry pick scriptures to get a doctrine. We need to make sure that we read the whole counsel of God, read the whole word of God to get the whole message. So that's how we understand the scriptures, because the Bible interprets itself. So
I have another good one too. It's Romans 8:29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And having chosen them, he called them to come to him. And having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. And having given them right standing, he gave them his glory.
Mm, that is so good. And so we see three different, we've read three different scriptures out of three different books. And it all meshes the same. The chosen aspect. How did God choose us in Christ? But see, that's where the God's sovereignty and God and man's free will. How does that work? I don't know, but it works. We do not hold to a certain theological view to God's sovereignty or in God's and man's free will, because that I believe it causes too much division, and I don't see it in Scripture. I just see that there's God is sovereign, and man has free will to come and receive the good news.
And they work together according to God's perfect plan.
Yes, amen. So we're going to leave it at that, and we're going to move on. So just go back and read, and we'll put those in the show notes, the scriptures that we read, so that you can go back and you can compare them. So,
and I real quick though, you just talked on verse 2 here in First Peter. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. So we talked about the chosen aspect of it. And his Spirit has made you holy. Mm. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we know we've talked about this a lot, but that is one of the biggest jobs of the Holy Spirit, is to make us holy, to change us, to transform us into a new creation, so that we would look like our Savior. That verse that I just read out of Romans, that's exactly what it said, that he has called us to look like his son. So there's nothing, you know, there's no excuse we can give for not looking like Christ. That is the greatest outcome and the expectation that God has on his children, is that we would be changed into the image of his son.
Amen.
And the next sentence says, may God give you more and more grace and peace. For what? More and more grace and peace in order to be transformed and be changed and look like Christ.
Because we need the grace and peace, because when you die to yourself, you need grace and peace. Mm-hmm. Because you are so used to doing things your own way. So when we come to Christ, it's a complete transformation. So we need grace and peace in our life, in this walk that we have, that this sanctification process. It is a pruning. It is a when you get put in the fire, the fire transforms you. The fire
refines
you. It purifies, cleanses you. So it's not it's not always just pleasant. Because when you are living the life that God has put in front of you to live, and you're obedient to God, these things are not always, you know, easy to do. There's going to be a lot of self-denial. We have to deny ourselves to follow the Lord.
But moving on to verse 3, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. So now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Mm. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. This is a big discussion point for us and something that we talk about very regularly, because there are so many scriptures in the Word of God that talk about our faith and how we are kept unto salvation through our faith. We cannot lose our faith and still, retain salvation. This verse right here tells you that your faith is protecting you by God's power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. So we are saved, we get saved, and then we are continuing to be saved unto the point when we have the final salvation, as what this says, ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see.
So 6 says, so be truly glad, there is a wonderful joy ahead, even though you have to endure many trials for a little while. Verse 7 says, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Through your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on that day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So it is we cannot think that our faith is our walk with the Lord is something that is that we have an option of not walking with Him. That we can't just say, I believe, and then you compartmentalize your life. Mm-hmm. He says here that that if you're in your faith, when you're walking with Jesus, you're going to endure many trials.
Yeah.
And your trials is going to show, that's going to show that your faith is genuine. So if you've never had a trial in your life, and I don't mean life in general, that, you lost your job because you just lost your job. This is speaking about talking about Jesus, living your faith out, being like Jesus, not just what life gives, because life in general is hard. But when you live for Jesus, it tends to draw people to you or away from you.
And Jesus said that you would be persecuted, you would be abandoned, you would be mocked, you would be jailed, and we've talked about in previous podcasts that we believe these times are going to be coming more here in the West than ever. If you watch the news, hopefully it's not mainstream, but if you watch any news outlet that tells the truth about what's going on, I think it was our last podcast, we mentioned what's happening in Australia mm-hmm. and Austria and these other countries right now where they're having these tyrannical mandates on the jab and the mask and all these different things. And we are seeing some of that come to the States as well. But it's just, we're living in crazy times, and we better now more than ever, these trials that we're going to experience as the body of Christ are going to show that our faith is genuine or that it's not. And that's a scary thought. That is not where we want to be. We want to make sure that as the fire tests and purifies gold, it is testing and purifying us to make us more like Christ, more close to Him and to the Father. We need to run to the Father. We need to be making sure that we are where we need to be in these last days.
Because you need to understand that Jesus is more important than your job.
That's
Jesus
right.
is more important than the American dream.
Oh, yes.
Jesus is more important than anything in your life. So if something is willing to, if someone was going to take something from you, and then you had to you had to say, I don't believe in Jesus anymore. If you said, I'm not going to live my faith out because you're going to take something from me,
then that's not a real faith.
Then your faith is your faith was just tested and it failed.
Yeah. It proved it wasn't genuine.
It proved that it wasn't genuine, yes. But if you love Christ and you truly are ready to die for Him or whatever the persecution not bring, verse 8 tells us, you love Him even though you've never seen Him. Though you do not see Him now, you trust Him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. The reward for trusting Him will be the salvation of your souls.
I wrote in my Bible, how can you get any more plain than this?
Yes.
I mean, literally, the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls.
I mean, Jesus says it. He says those who endure to the end will be saved. Mm-hmm. It's all through the Bible. So, and I know that might rub against some people's doctrines, but let me tell you, a doctrine versus what Scripture actually says,
you need to change your doctrine to match up with what the Word of God says and not the other way around.
If you have a doctrine and it goes against what actual Scripture says, then...
Or you have to do a lot of twisting and, you know, biblical gymnastics to make it fit into that doctrine. Y'all, that is dangerous. You need to get rid of that doctrine. Yes.
You need to drop that doctrine and just, we need to get back to simplicity of the Scriptures mm-hmm. and the simplicity of what Christ has taught. Because this is what Christ taught. If you want to go back to see what Jesus teaches on this, you can go to Matthew 24. You can go back in the Gospels where in John, you can go to John 14, 15, and 16, and you can see
which we did a podcast on it.
So you can go back to all the Scriptures that you read. If you read any New Testament letter, you can always compare that to Jesus' teachings in the Gospels. They're going to match perfectly. Mm-hmm. So verse 10 says this: salvation was something even the prophets wanted to know more about when they prophesied about this gracious salvation prepared for you. So our salvation is, we really should look at our salvation and we should see what Jesus did for us and really hold tight to it. You need to really, set back and see what you have received. If you have received salvation and you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you need to see how precious that is. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times we take it for granted and we just overlook things and we let sin in our life overpower the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the power of the Holy Spirit can snuff out that habitual sin, that habitual living for self.
Yeah.
So...
And you can always repent. You know, the power of the Holy Spirit is there to equip you, to challenge you, to convict you, to conform you to the image of Christ, to always be changing you. So it's never too late until death or until Christ returns, you know, to come back to him. But we don't want to see how long we can wait. I mean, we're not guaranteed tomorrow.
No.
So we need to be living for Christ today. You know, that when he does return, that he will find us ready, that he will find a bride who has prepared herself, that her garments are clean. We want to be a part of that bride. And, yes. You know, the reason why we're doing this teaching today, we decided, for one, we've had some feedback that people are really enjoying the way that we go through God's Word together and, you know, break down the Scriptures and explain things. So that's awesome. I mean, we figure you can't go wrong sticking to God's Word. That's why we are constantly talking about it. But I think going through books of the Bible like we do, it just helps people to really be able to understand how to apply it to their life. And like we said, we can't mess up a message when we're going through Scripture and literally just breaking down what it says and talking about it. And we can easily talk about how that can apply to our life, things that we've learned, and, you know, just experiences that we can pass on to y'all. So we love the Word of God and we love to talk about it. And we really want people to be equipped in these days.
Absolutely. So, you know, when we read this, you know, you got to understand that the power of the Holy Spirit gives you understanding.
Yes, he is the greatest teacher.
He's the greatest teacher. We can teach on this. You can have another Bible teacher teach on it. But you need to understand that this is a supernatural book.
Mm-hmm.
This, the words that are written down in our Bible is inspired.
Yes.
The original manuscripts. And I mean, that's what I'm talking about. When it was originally written down, when the writer was writing it down, those writers were inspired by the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is what Peter is talking about here. In fact, he's talking about the prophets of old that were inspired, that had the Holy Spirit in them to write down what was going to happen when Jesus came. When Jesus came and whenever he was born, that was all prophesied. All, you know, so Jesus, in fact, Jesus fulfilled over 100 prophecies. And that is amazing because that's literally like, I heard this before and it's pretty mind blowing. It's like if you take the state of Texas and you have every single person in the state of Texas has a silver dollar. And one person in the state of Texas has a red silver dollar, only one. And they take another person, blindfold them, and say, okay, you have one chance to pick the one person in the state of Texas with that silver dollar.
The red one.
The red one. What's the odds in that? And that's the same odds that Jesus fulfilled over 100 prophecies.
Real quick, I want to give a shout out to a sweet sister and friend of ours that also has a podcast. It's called One Little Candle Podcast. Y'all need to go check her out wherever you get your podcasts. And the reason I say that is because I listened to one of her messages from just a couple back that she did. And the lady that she was interviewing used that exact same analogy.
Oh, wow.
So
I didn't listen to it, so that was.
But I know you've talked about it many times before. You've said it, so
it's just really neat to hear that and just see how awesome our God is.
Yes, you know? Amen.
And so the very last verse, and we're going to close. It says they were told that their messages were not for themselves. This is the prophets that had in the Old Testament scriptures that was writing in a prophetic way to foreshadow Jesus. It says they were told that their messages were not for themselves, but for you. And now this good news has been announced to you by those who preached in the power of the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. It is also wonderful that even the angels are eagerly watching these things happen. So, and that's amazing. Just think about it. The angels are, they look at this thing that we have that's called salvation, because the devil and the fallen angels don't have salvation. They will never have salvation. But we have salvation. God has given us this beautiful good news because we're made in His image. We're created in His image. And so because we're created in His image, that doesn't make us right with God. We're image bearers of God, but that makes us, we're able to receive salvation because of that. Mm-hmm. So when you see a person that's acting evil, that person is in the image of God, but yet they're not acting accordingly to what their image is.
They haven't been reconciled to God.
They have not been reconciled, and we have to be made right in God's sight, and that's why Jesus had to come. He had to come to die for our sins so that we can, in fact, the verse literally says that Jesus becomes sin who knew no sin so that we can become the righteousness of God.
What an exchange, huh?
What an exchange. You take, and in fact, if you want to look at it in the scriptures, you can look at Barabbas and you can look at Jesus. Mm. Barabbas, his first name was Jesus also. So you had two Jesuses on trial. You had one that was an actual murderer and someone that was a thief and a terrorist. And then you had the sinless God-man, which was Jesus Christ, that did not deserve to be there. But who did the people want to release? The one that was the murderer. That is us. That represents us. We want to take care of us before we ever would want to take care of Jesus. But what did Jesus do? He did the opposite. He accepted that and stood in our place.
So and that, who was it that wanted to kill him? The religious.
Yes, well, it was the
religious.
It was the religious, and it was also, you had a combination of the Jews that were the religious Pharisees that wanted to kill him, and then who actually put him on the cross was the Gentiles. So it was the representation of Gentile and Jew alike killing Jesus, but what did Jesus do? He reconciled Gentile and Jew alike.
Yeah.
And so what God did was reverse it. He flipped it on its head. So,
well, the kingdom of God is an upside down kingdom.
It sure is.
And we could keep going, but we know for the sake of time, we want to go ahead and end it there today.
Thanks so much for listening in to the podcast. Please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. You can listen to our previous shows and read our blog post at www.saltysaints.blog.